This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Are you there, Sam?
Yep, hang on, I'm just turning that on.
Is our guest ready?
Yep, I've got the music ready.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, sounds great.
Cool. Otago Access Radio, in partnership with Otago Polytechnic, brings you Blowing Bubbles.
Blowing Bubbles brings you positive conversations with people in their bubbles around the world.
We're curious about how people are finding new ways of life, being and problem solving. Every Wednesday, the Sustainable Lens team of Samuel Mann and Mawira Karatai reach out from our bubbles to chat with interesting and positive people around the world.
Broadcast on Otago Access Radio, 105.4 FM in Dunedin, and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz.
Bringing joy, connection, kindness and peace in all the days ahead.
Welcome to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. I'm Samuel Mann. I am joined today by our roving reporter, Tim Lynch. Welcome, Tim.
Well, thank you, Sam. Thank you for having me.
Tim, remind us why you're doing these interviews with people.
So my doctorate work is split into three phases, the first being anger, the second one being hope, and the final one being action. Hopefully by the time I get to the action part, that's when I will start doing my things, and we'll be able to sit here and talk about the things that I'm actually doing and contributing. So the interviews that I'm having within each one of those sections is to do with those respective emotions. Now, the people I was talking to here are from a small island down the bottom of Japan called Minamata. Minamata is about the size of Mosgiel, I would suppose. But within Minamata, or within that town of that size, they have two hospitals about the size of our, well, what was our hospital as it was being rebuilt, and a third one about the same size, which is a psychiatric hospital. And the reason for that is because of mercury poisoning that was released into the water from the local factory, one of the local factories, the Tiso factory. Now that killed 2,000 people, and it went on to sort of affect the lives of many, many, many more. Now, it may seem slightly at odds to be saying, well, how is that possibly hopeful? And the reason for being there is that hope has to have a purpose, and hope has to have a direction, and hope has to have action, and it's all the stuff that occurred after the poisonings that are hopeful. But to get to that hopeful part, we need to start at the very beginning, which in this place is with Koi, who is from the Minamata Museum, and she started showing me around the museum.
My name is Koizu Mihatsue, nickname is Koi, and I am a curator of this museum, and I'm in charge of sorting material, like archiving. This museum is to tell the story of the Minamata disease to people. In the center of the exhibition room, this is the cat experiment cage. So this cage is used for cats to experiment, to reveal what is the cause of Minamata disease.
So why were the cats important in Minamata disease?
Because cats are the first victim of this pollution. They ate a lot of fish. So the cat disease is the first phenomena people notice in this area.
And what were the cats doing?
Cats suddenly start moving strange, like dance, like a neurological symptom they show. So fishermen thought that this is disease. Cat can catch mice. This animal, cat, is important for fishermen because reducing the mice is important to keep the fishing net. Mice will bite fishing net. So for fishermen, cats are the guardians of fishing. So it was very important for them, but they start dancing and start dying, like jumping in the sea or suddenly dropped from the stairs.
And so this this cage in front of us, that was used to put the cats in to watch them, to observe them, to see what was happening with them?
Yeah, but this particular experiment conducted by Chisso, so the cause of company, organized a research team about Minamata disease. And this company research team conducted this animal experiment, and they fed different type of food to different cats. And one of the cat, number 400, are fed with just normal cat food with drainage water, factory's wastewater. So then they developed, cat number 400 developed the symptom of Minamata disease and the cause and effect of Minamata disease and the factory's wastewater are revealed by Chisso research team.
So that's how they found that it was coming from the wastewater, was from the cats.
3 years after the official confirmation of the disease is happening in this area, and the cause become clear from this research, but this research result were hidden. So they didn't publish this research result, they ignored. So when the factory stopped the wastewater, well, it was 1968, so 9 years after this cat experiment. So if they stop reflecting this research result, they could minimize the damage of Minamata disease and damage of the environmental destruction, but they didn't. So the company started discharging wastewater in 1932, and the first case was discovered in 1956, so 24 years after they started pollution. But of course, this 24 years, the amount of use of mercury is increasing. So it's not happened just one day. It's not just happened. It starts gradually. They use the small amount of mercury first and become bigger and bigger. So when I interviewed local people, or some people say they observe the fish are floating in the sea surface, but they didn't think that it's strange. It started slowly. So just one fish floating, maybe from the beginning, but maybe 1 year later, two fish, three fish. So if we found thousands of fish floating in one day, we all can notice that this is strange. But it started slowly. So it's difficult for local people to notice that fish are polluted and they keep eating fish.
Can you show me some other exhibitions?
Yes. Which do you prefer? This is the sludge, mercury-contained sludge. This is the real sludge. So now the polluted area of the sea was reclaimed. So it's become like a landfill. But under the landfill, it's the mercury sludge is still contained.
So that looks like green, horrible, murky sludge with a kind of raft of dirt and debris on top of it. It doesn't look like something you would ever want to put on your skin, let alone eat fish that have been swimming from there. Is that what was going into the harbour?
We took this sludge from the harbour, the bottom of the sea.
So that's from the bottom of the sea?
Yeah, before the construction of the landfill, reclamation. And it's contained 401 ppm of mercury, including 0.024 ppm of methyl mercury. It's quite high. It's very high if you compare to other sea.
Yes, and it looks revolting. It looks horrible. It seems incredible that a factory was able to do that to the environment, push something that looks so horrendous into the environment.
Mm. And it not be noticed. That it took so long for it to be noticed.
Yeah. And not only the color, but also the residents say that there's a strong smell. And the color of the water is like a rainbow. So not only mercury, but also other chemicals are also released into the sea because there is no water treatment system.
So that was just the straight raw chemicals getting pushed out, not treated. Nothing being done to them at all.
No.
Straight out of the factory, straight into the sea.
They expected that those pollutants will be diluted because the sea is big water pot.
Dilution is a solution. That's the saying given in English, yes.
Right. But if you look at this history, it's not the answer.
So, Tim, what can you tell me about this museum?
Well, there's two in Minamata. It's called the Founders Museum, this one, and so where I was staying. And if you can imagine a very large, fairly simple backpackers, what is the accommodation which is part of the museum. Now, what separates it is when you walk into the sort of main living quarters or areas, if you will, there's a shrine, and the shrine's got 2,000 candles. And these are for the remembrance of the 2,000 people that died. The accommodation where I was staying, sort of slightly up from that, was really classic Japanese futons on the floor type thing. When I was there, it was snowing, so it was very, very cold, incredibly cold. The museum is run through grants that are given by the government, and the reason for they do that is they don't want the conversation to end. Japan, obviously, if you look past Fukushima, does have fairly strong environmental credentials about the way that they operate, and their relationship with the environment is very strong. And so the reason for keeping the museums alive is to show that and maintain that.
Hang on, Tim. Slow down for us. Why are the cats involved?
Okay, so Minamata is a fishing village, and so the cats traditionally were of great significance to the fishermen because they would have the nets. The mice like to eat holes in the nets. The cats killed the mice. So what they initially discovered was the cats. They called them dancing cats, and it was the cats having a form of paralysis. Now, what Koi was talking about, the cage that she was showing me, was where they had 200 cats in there that they were trying to figure out where this dancing sort of epilepsy was coming from. And they discovered that it was, in fact, coming from the mercury that was being put in the water from the CISO factory. That was covered up by the company in its entirety. Now, that in itself is quite astonishing, but it was the trickle down of the cats and the humans, which is interesting. Because as humans, what we really, really like to do is we like to believe that we are outside of the food chain, that we are somehow removed from it, and we're not integrated or part of it. And what they discovered was very quickly after the cats, that humans started dancing. They also started dancing. And with that came this conversation of compensation. And so the tension then began to arise within the community of who was faking it, who was just trying to get compensation and wasn't allowed it. Now, the Japanese, they're very stoic. They have a very philosophical outlook on things, but they're fiercely loyal. And if you can imagine, this company was so big that half of the community was being employed by it. So irrespective of what was happening, they didn't want anything that was going to disrupt that. So when you walk around Minamata on the corner of sort of every second block, there's a cake shop, and that was put there by the CISO factory, and they'll give away free cakes to the local population as a way to not apologise or to accept guilt, but just as a friendly gesture to remind them of how good the company was for that community.
And not so subtle link to your own profession.
Not so subtle, yes, right. Although I have to say, the Japanese food is astonishing. Those particular cake shops, I wasn't overly impressed with.
So what are these pictures we have here?
So those pictures are taken during the protest and during the lawsuit litigations to get the compensation and get the recognition as a victim. The most of the picture here are taken in Tokyo, because Tokyo, or there's a headquarter of CHISO and also Ministry of Public Health. So this is in front of CHISO headquarters. Not only patient and their family, but also many student protests gathering in front of this building.
Did the protests do anything?
Actually, this is after they stopped the pollution. Because CHISO stopped the pollution in 1968. And 1968 is one of the very active year of student protest. Mm-hmm. And then this is the year patient filed lawsuits. So all public attention are gathered to this incident. And because the pollution, if the pollution is over, still they have symptoms and it's incurable disease. So they need some support from the government and the CHISO. So they needed to sue CHISO. So this is the medicine, one person, 1 week.
So what we're looking at here is a shoebox size pile of opened and empty, it looks like pill containers, and that's just 1 week's worth. And that will be just to try and contain the disease, the symptoms of the disease?
Yeah, because the symptom of the disease is various types of the symptoms, for example, headache, numbness, tremor, and those symptom by symptom, doctor diagnose. And they give medicine. So they give medicine, the amount of medicine is huge.
With this medicine, the disease is incurable, so this is just to allow the people to be able to walk, to live.
Mm. So just for mitigation, so to relieve the pain and tremor. But after a while, the medicine's effect over, they need to have another medicine. So keep taking medicine until they die.
You brought us some music, Tim?
Yeah, I have. Well, it's funny, when you think of like Japan and you think of music, you tend to think of like classical soft music, serene, beautiful things. And all of that is completely true. But there's also this kind of flip side to Japanese music, which is this completely over the top, almost farcically loud and noisy rock and roll. And I think that's what we're going to go to. So this is called Guitar Wolf. These guys are actually touring New Zealand at the moment. Very similar to John Spencer Blues Explosion. Enjoy.
Sanjuka, sokora. motorcycle.
Psycho!
On the motorcycle.
Psycho!
遠くから本番後半戦行こう。
大人は最高。
So what is this graph here?
So this shows the severe symptom, severe case Minamata disease. The number of severe case smaller, but more people are suffering the mild symptom. It shows the amount of measured mercury. Bigger amount of measured mercury exposed means severe case, and a smaller case, and then it's mild case, like just headache or just sensory disturbance. It's not so obvious, and it's difficult for others to understand how they have suffering from this. So those people who have mild symptoms are sometimes accused as fake patient because they receive money from CISO as compensation, but because they look just normal people. So they are, say, like, enemy of the city. They receiving money from CISO, and CISO is the king of this city. Economically, it have a power, huge influence on local economy. So receiving money from CISO, then maybe CISO will go bankrupt. Citizens are worried about this.
So not everyone in the town pleased about CISO paying compensation.
The victims of the Minamata disease is minority city. So majority of the people are living and depending on the CISO's economy. That means they want to try to protect CISO than the profit of Minamata disease. But those people who act like this also became Minamata disease. They didn't notice at the beginning, but after a while, they noticed that they also have symptoms. So it's complicated. It's kind of taboo to talk about.
It's interesting that a lot of it puts people dying, but there's no one to talk about here. All the other people were affected. So this post here that we're seeing with is a series of silhouettes of people with red dots on their face, their hands, their head, or on their joints. There's a picture here of two people fishing, and the red dots are, one is on the knee and one is on the hand. What is this poster saying?
It shows a symptom of disease. We have like a typical symptom, but not only typical symptom, there are so many troubles in the daily life. For example, when they go fishing, they cannot walk very well in the boat because boat is unstable. So it's difficult for them to take balance on them. Or if you go fishing, they cannot feel that fish is coming to the pole or not. And this is the postcard, say that it's fake patient. It's the highlighted in the fake, the word of fake.
So this postcard, who is this from? Who is it?
It's not written here. But it's to the representative of fake Minamata disease patient.
And is it for a doctor saying that they are fake? Is it from a company saying it, or is it from a person?
I think it's just normal citizens. Because those postcards are usually sent after a TV program focused the protest of the disease, or lawsuits or negotiations are reported on TV or newspaper. And in the scene of negotiation, it just looks like normal people are talking to the company director. And those figures made the impression that fake patient, because they look like normal, but they're demanding money. So it says like, you are greedy, that's why you try to be patient.
Do you think there were many fake patients?
It's a difficult question, because if one person tried to imitate Minamata disease, but if that person are living in the seaside, that means they are somehow affected their health. And also the doctors, if they examine the person's condition carefully, they can notice that if they are faking or not faking.
Do you know what the tests were for faking? Or how did the diagnosis, how did they test for?
Some people said like some fake patient or try to practice not walk straight.
Like they were drunk.
Like that.
So this wall down the end here, there's a large mural up the top. It looks like two people swimming in the sea, it looks like. And then underneath it we have, it looks like a picture with hundreds of different cats all around it. Could you explain what this is?
So the cats, the number of these cats is 838. This is exactly the same number of cats sacrificed for the cat experiment. So we ask visitors to send their cats to visualize how much sacrifice we made for this cat experiment, and losing their life, but the research results are ignored. So even they sacrifice those precious lives, and they can get the reality, the fact of what is happening, but they ignore.
So this beautiful mural up the top here, what is this depicting?
So it was written in 1980, it's written by Maruki Iri Toshi. It's a famous drawer in Japan. It shows the mother and a children of Minamata. And I think they are not, they didn't talk, they didn't explain much about what's written here, but I feel that they are suffering, but they are enjoying the sea. And it's drawn for theater play, the one of the decoration of theater play. So many people try to tell the story of Minamata by different ways, by drawings, by museum, talking.
Art always is where a lot of these things come out, isn't it? The explanation is...
When we were talking about anger, there was quite a close relationship between anger and business, either trying to disrupt business or not disrupt business. And that same thing's coming through here, I think. people not being happy about that impact on business.
People are very unhappy about it. And this is this conversation we go into now, which is the conversation with the victims. It even brings it even further to the fore, is this notion of that anything that disrupts commerce, you know, there's this inherent kind of thinking, I believe, in humans, that there has to be an ecological trade-off for economic benefits. I don't believe that that's true. I mean, particularly with the likes of donut economics, it's been shown that we don't have to have these extractive mechanisms in order to have healthy economies. It's a debate which is currently going on with our own political system in New Zealand at the moment. One of the things that really, when I was in Minamata talking with people there, one of the things that it made me really aware of, that in New Zealand we have this thing where we tend to look down at whistleblowers. You know, people say this is wrong. We tend to look at them and go, no, they shouldn't do that. They shouldn't be so disruptive. And after you've been to somewhere like Minamata where they've had thousands of people die because there were no whistleblowers, there was no one that was willing to stand up and say, no, this is wrong. This shouldn't be happening. That we need that in our society. We need to have that 1 in 10 that's willing to do that. We need to have those people that are willing to superglue themselves to road, that are willing to chain themselves to trains. We need that. So these conversations now went from koi, and I'm now talking to one of the victims, or the survivors, more correctly, I should say, of Minamata disease and how it affected, well, her family.
My name Rimiko Yoshinaga desu. Hanashi hajimeta no wa 7 年ぐらい前になりますかね。
So I started storytelling 27 years ago, working as a storyteller. So I mainly talk about my family history and how the sea was lost and the things I want people to learn.
じゃあ家族と海のお話をされているということだったんですけど、このことについてお話をお聞きしてもいいですか？
はい。まあ、私が生まれた場所は、ここのエリア、明神っていうエリアです。それで、私の家族はその時に、8人家族で、祖父母が魚を取る漁師。
I was born in 明神, this area. And my family member, I have 8 family members when I was born. My grandparents are fishers, and my father was chisso worker.
Because Minamata disease affected fishers and chisso workers, was that hard on the family?
一通り話して終わ話してから済ませてもらえますか？大
丈夫？ああ、いや、いいです、いいです。はい、はい。以前は、まあ、水俣病が起きる前だとか、まあ、水俣病が。
My feeling on that has been changed. So, at the beginning, at the outbreak of Minamata disease, for me,My grandparents working for sea and my father working for chisso, that was not a matter. That they are both my family member. They work very hard for their family member. But Minamata disease happened and chisso was the cause of the Minamata disease. But actually my father, chisso worker, died for Minamata disease. So, they work hard for chisso.And then he died for Minamata disease, but he didn't know the reason why he died. He didn't know the cause of Minamata disease. So he didn't know what is happening, but he worked very hard. And then it's caused Minamata disease. And I now wondering how my father, think about this, if he could
think about?
So at this stage, a series of photos were pulled out, and they were photos of a very, you know, very proud looking family, a very proud looking father, very proud looking mother, etc. And they were photos of her family. Her father died and her great-grandfather died, and there were photos of her. And so, you know, it was quite difficult, to be honest with you, Sam, but I had to, you know, I asked her, look, what were some of the strong memories of that time? And she immediately pointed to a picture
my
of her father.
My mother. 私は誰でしょう?
Which one is me? Yes.
私は誰? うん。5歳ぐらいかな。
うん。Maybe years old.
で、父がこの時、まあ37から8。
And he was 37 to 38 years old.
で、人が、こう、8。
80 years old.
10。
10。
で、もう一人、12。いや、ここに映ってないですね。何がいます、ここ。
And I have a brother. He was 12.
だから、この時、あ、ここは窒素、付属病院、父が入院しているところ。
And this, is 窒素 hospital, where he was hospitalized.
It's an incredible, like it's a very beautiful family.、
うん、とても美しい人ですね。
ありがとうございます。まあ、小さい時の記憶っていうか、水俣病が起きた頃、この地域は、まだ、公式に病が発される前にもう水俣病がすでに起きている
。So, in this village, suffered from 水俣 before the official reports of 水俣。
うん。それで一番最初、被害に遭った族が、ここのエリアでは被害に遭うです。
So, this is the first victim of 水俣 this village. And this is grandmother, grandson. He was exposed to mercury in his mother's womb. She is my father's sister.And her son,
娘
sorry, daughter. She became Minamata. She was 2 or 3 years old.
だから、まあほぼ同じ時期に私の父になって、
So it was about the same period my father became Minamata. His son, bigger son, is the same age of mine. So we are around the same age.
Three stories.Emotionally,
huh? うん、このようなお話をお話しされる気持ち的に負担になる。
もう慣れました。
I'm used to.
まあ、ずっと長いことこうのことを話すのに。
So it took 40 years for me to start to talk about my experience. And after I became a storyteller, somehow my oppressed feeling, oppressed memories are become clear, and in that way, somehow I'm relieved.
Was there support?
ここから?
You mean this area, community?
Yes, to help.
それはね。
No.
それはね。水俣病のことはお互いに話して。
We don't talk about 水俣 disease.
How did you
start? 始められたんでしょうか。So it was the period of Moyai Naoshi is a movement, social 1990s. And in this period, I have experience reading about Minamata disease, reading a book about Minamata disease. And it was my biggest trigger, because I got to know the things I didn't know before.
If you don't want to...In the community, if you don't want to talk about,
窒素があって生活が成り立ってるっていうのは、
not only this small community, also whole Yamata City. The big, what is important is that without 窒素 we cannot live in this city. So, because of 窒素, thanks to 窒素, Minamata City is sustained. And if we talk about this.Particular community, we have only 4 homes are located in our community at that time. But all of them has 窒素 worker or 窒素 affiliate worker or some job related to 窒素. So relationship to 窒素 is very strong.
So, when Minamatsu did happen, and when Chisso was suspected as the cause, there is an atmosphere that we cannot mention about this.
If you have a business, how did support come around?
So in case of my family, my father died before Chisso was suspected, and grandfather, this is become bedridden. So, but at that time, there is no support, any support from others. So my mother have to walk, keep walking all the time for family. And once my family received public assistance for, it's not targeted to this, but for the poverty or the difficult situation people, the public available. So we received this public assistance once. But besides that, once, Sohogo 一回受けたっていうのは年とかそういうことです。And besides that, there is a consolation money contract in 1959. It's Chisso paid some amount of money, not as a compensation, but money, not referring to. And also or the compensation after the lawsuits in 1970s.
まあ、私は実際にこの頃としては子供だからなんですけど、まあ、母にしてみれば
So at that time I was a child, so I didn't understand all the situation. Thinking about my mother's situation, she must be very hard. So I think the government or Chisso should act and should support quicker. And if Chisso admitted the situation earlier, we could get action earlier.
What would compensation look like?
So in 1959, not the compensation, but the donation like to unfortunate. It was my father was targeted, my father was died for Minamatsu, and we received 300,000 yen. But grandfather was still alive, and he was paid 30,000 yen per year. And after the lawsuit, we received compensation, and it was 18 million yen. And besides this 18 million yen, a family member also received some amount of compensation. No, we cannot get them back. And we don't know if my father worked for so until he's retired, he could make much more.
Are there moments positive? Are there moments of hope that have come from this?
So when I look back my experience, looking at the seaside is a moment of relief. And as you know, this area is reclaimed. It was a sea war, but it's reclaimed. And I became to think that the seaside. At the moment at the seaside, look at the waves moving, and such kind of moment are very precious for me after the construction completed. And it was too normal for me, but after I lost sea, I found that it was very precious. So even I couldn't talk about my field experience to anyone, I have the time of relax inside. It's a bit strange for me, but I didn't feel that sea or seafood are scary. And sea was actually my playground from the... I played in the seaside, and in the New Year days, we have Dondoya. Dondoya is an event. Like bonfire. We make bonfire and grill the rice cake. So we did in the seaside. And I lost my father because of the fish, but I didn't feel that sea or sea fish scary. And disease itself is also not scary for me.
Do you think it's learning from Minamata?
若い世代は水俣病から学んでいると。
難しいです。
It's a difficult question.
学んでる人もいるし、学んでる人もいるから。
So for me, it diverted in two different group of people. Some people visited Minamatsu to learn about Minamatsu, and some people even moved in to from outside. But some people, on the other hand, don't care about history, and some people have not so good feeling or good experience because of Minamata disease.
What would it be?
So we human beings, all of us, it's natural that we need to become rich, but I want young generation to think about what is the richness, how we can live rich, and not only think about the short-term business, but also long-term business. And for example, my father, very hard worker, was my, and they, it's caused Minamata disease. But because of my father or other so worker worked very hard, and, but what is business for you, for me, is the key question for the next day. So my hope or my wish is to return the sea. And so I want people to think about the sea of their surroundings, Minamata, but their sea. So I hope that many people think about the environment and the sea. And for me, sea is not only the place that we can get food, but also sea is coexistence of the human being. So we are not living, but we are allowed to live by sea. So without sea, we cannot live. I think it's same as climate change. If we change the environment, we kill ourselves. So we are all coexisting. So I sometimes think that way. I sometimes think that if we turn the sea in the sky, that turn other way around, and if something dropping from the sea, then we can see what we did, like all the things human beings do to see, we can visualize in the sky.
We went looking for hope. We found some dancing cats. They weren't the hopeful thing. Maybe they were. What was the hopeful part?
The hopefulest part? The hope part comes into the next podcast we'll have, where we talk about how the fishermen were facilitated to transition from fishing, and they've now gone back to it. It's funny, because when I was in Minamata, I asked that exact same question to, you know, the victim and to Koi, and, you know, what is it that gives hope? And the hope is a future-focused thing. You know, if you think evolutionarily, you know, the role of hope is to keep us moving forward to the future, where we can change things, where we can evolve, and where we can learn from the past. And that's what gave me hope, is that it's very easy when you're confronted with us. And I'll be honest, that conversation that I was having, you know, these were difficult conversations. Particularly at the end, I felt completely underwhelmed when I was giving this person a box of New Zealand chocolates as a thank you for telling me about how her family had died. Felt somewhat underwhelming on my side. But the Japanese are very philosophical as a people. They've got this incredible viewpoint, you know, that they go, the hope is in the future. The hope is with me going over there and talking to them. The hope is with people like Koi running a museum to let people know what was happening. That's where the hope lies. And as I was talking about the whistleblowers before, maybe it is, you know, not only that we need whistleblowers, but we also need to have that feeling of hope, because, you know, hope without action is meaningless in a lot of ways. And it's that idea of, you know, without hope, anger becomes despair. And so that's why we need to have hope. And that's what prevented everyone I was talking to in Minamata from just becoming depressed about what had happened, is because they have hope for the future. And so that is weirdly infectious. Like, that becomes the way you start viewing things. That becomes part of the zeitgeist of the environment. So that's what gave me hope, was the people that were there and what they were doing.
I know you've got more people to talk to about hope, but has it started to look like a framework that you can put into your bigger question of what is hospitality's response to climate change?
100%. That's what hospitality provides, is hope. That's what we do. It'll be easy to say, oh, hospitality just prevents or provides a distraction. I think it's more than that. It is hope. If you think about the things that provide for people that they desire in times of dire need, it all sits in that realm of hospitality. And that's what true manukatanga is. That's what true hospitality is that ability to give somebody something that they can't get elsewhere, which and oftentimes is priceless and hard to put a sort of monetary value on. And it's one of the things I believe in hospitality in New Zealand where we're going wrong is that we don't value our own hospitality enough. We don't need to have thousand point sheets. We don't need that stuff. What we need is to be our own genuine, authentic self because we are genuinely hospitable people. And with that is definitely hope.
Thank you very much. We shall get you back. Who are we going out to?
So this time we're going to go for Lunda, which is a band. The song is called Annie Bell, and it's just because sometimes you need to listen to some scratchy indie pop.
Been listening to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world, brought to you by the Sustainable Lens team, which is brought to you by Otago Polytechnic. We broadcast on Otago Access Radio every Wednesday afternoon at 3 and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz. I was joined today by Tim Lynch, who brought us the first of a series of, how many are we doing, Tim?
Three or four
special episodes on hope. We're going to have to come up with a clever name for it.
We will.
In the first of those, he brought to us the folks from the Minamata Museum in Japan. I'm Simon Lowe. That was Blowing Bubbles. We hope you enjoyed the show. Ngāti wā.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.